Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Hi, welcome to an edition of Speaking Reliability. This is Adam Barrett. I'm here at RAMS 2020 with Tim Gaines. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hi, Adam. It's going fine. Thank you.
Good.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's good. I love RAMS. It's always so much fun to see everybody in person that we don't get to see throughout the year. And you and I have always had a strong connection with not only Ascendo, but with the Mastermind group. One time I kind of was driving, and now you've really taken great control of it. And it's really amazing to see how it's grown. You've done a better job. So I was interested in talking with you a little bit about it, you know, and how reliability engineering, I always call it the loneliest engineering discipline, right? Because so many teams is just a single individual.
Most of the time it is, yes. It's still a struggle. Mostly you're alone in the company or a few guys in the company that know anything about reliability, and everybody comes with their questions and they all think you have the answer direct ready for them.
Yeah,
that's not always easy, and that's why I also like that we have these groups that we can exchange ideas, see how other people are handling the same kind of problems. So in the end, we all suffer the same issues, the same problems about people having questions, manager doesn't want to listen. You have to persuade your manager to have money for your products, to do your tests, number of samples. I can go on and on about this, but it's very relatable. So, yesterday I went to your presentation, and again there, I think of all the people in the room, I think like 90% want to jump up and tell their story about what they have had in the same situation. That actually one guy did it. So he came with a question, but it wasn't really a question. He was just telling his story about problems he found out. That happened.
Yeah. No, it's deep because without having that person next to you, that mentor, even that collaborator, you know, to do it, a lot can get lost. And especially in something like reliability, where there is a kind of general confrontation because you're pushing for something that there is resistance, right? I mean, project managers are pushing back on schedule, right? Yeah. Okay. Directors are pushing back on cost, and R&D is trying to develop something new that then, you know, you're to some degree in trying to validate it. If it changes again, it can undo a lot of the testing program. So, you know, being able to have a group of peers that within confidence you can share, you know, how do I address this? So how would you describe a lot of the people you've seen come to and use the Mastermind group? What do you see a lot of people who are in their first, you know, let's say 2 or 3 years of their career?
We have quite a range of people, but a lot of people, some of the people that are just pushed into the role, that's also that you see in various companies that they don't have a reliability engineer and they need one.
That's always a fun story, is asking people how they got into reliability engineering. It's always some crazy path.
And they get this nice promotion to a job that nobody else wanted.
Yeah.
So, and so then I really see the value there, having this group that you have peers that you can talk to, how they handle the stuff, because I have to say, I had a mentor when I started, but he retired. So and at that moment, you are on your own, and having some people to reflect on, it's really, really helpful. And I know it's sometimes hard because you cannot mention some customers, you cannot mention, you have NDAs, you cannot mention all the problems. You need to be on a very high level sometimes, but still you can give tips and hints, lessons learned. You don't want your peers to make the same mistake, even though they're not within the same company. They might even be the competition, but still it's valuable. It's not that you're giving away rocket science.
Right. Oh, I mean, it's easy to share even without knowing the details of a project because it carries over so directly, right? The situations are without the specifics of a technology. And it's funny you're describing that mentor thing where you had a mentor and then he disappeared. A lot of the reasons why that's why they grab somebody new, right? Because somebody is going to retire or leave, and that situation is not uncommon. So that's why I'm promoting the Mastermind group and, you know, people knowing it's there, because you can find that mentor there, you know, again. Something else you've done with it recently that I thought was great is bring it to LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right. Creating links. So tell me a little bit about that and how that's working.
So I'm not going to run away with the honor myself alone, because Chris is doing a great job with that.
Yeah.
So we made the LinkedIn group to have a more peer-to-peer communication, because We have the meetings once a month, and the timing can be difficult because, as you know, I'm coming from Europe, having living in another time zone. Even within America, you have different time zones.
Yeah.
Some people are allowed of are easy of speaking or talking, of having calls during their work time, but some people are not. So, and then you have actual work, meetings that come up. So children that you have to fetch from somewhere.
Right.
So all these things make it sometimes hard to meet once a month in that particular hour. So we try to do a lot of things. We make some list with suggestions of different times, different dates. But in the end, it's just like we see who comes and we try to have a good meeting. We try to have the topics in advance. Missing... Come again with the question?
So the question was, you know, with regard to LinkedIn, how is that added functionality?
The reason, so the LinkedIn helps you to have this continuous flow of ideas and of information. So you might find an interesting article that you think the group can, or a book that you recently seen that might be interesting because you heard somebody was struggling with this topic, for example, like software reliability. This is a topic that most of the people in the group are not so familiar with. And if you find an interesting resource, you can post it directly. You don't have to wait a month and presumably forget that you found it during the course of the weeks. So that makes it more interactive. And people who cannot join the meeting can actually use LinkedIn to have this message board where they can exchange ideas and get opinions from their peers.
So it's working like a message board or like a forum or a message board, or what's the structure like?
So now it's currently more working so for the meetings we post also in advance the topics, and some people can interact on the topic that is going to be talked about. So you have a little bit of preparation. We can also use it during the meeting to see what are the kind of remarks we get on the topics and how what is your idea on that.
Yeah.
And we also, the people who bring the topics might have some story about it. They can bring it. We can see what was good about it, what was not so good about it, or how we do it in our own company. And usually there we also see the same struggle and problems. And if somebody finds a way to easy overcome it, it's nice to hear, and it's you can do it yourself and your own work.
Can people just search on LinkedIn for Mastermind or Reliability Mastermind? What's the best way to find it?
And at this moment, I do think it's still a hidden group on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So it's invitation only. So
okay.
Because we really want to. So it's double up. So we want to have the group as strong as possible. And everybody can join, and you can get invites, and you can partner in. But really, we want to keep the people out. So they're just there to make promotion for themselves.
Right.
So I would say consultants, but you're also a consultant. So perhaps that's not the real world. But
well, it depends on my intention.
Some
right?
consultants are real pushy. Just come to me and follow my course,
pay me
the money,
and you will
be good.
That's not the point.
That's not the point.
It's the opposite.
The point is that you learn from each other, and that it's actually free of charge, and if there is something that needs to be charged, that you can always get a mutual agreement on that. So in the past I've also coming to RAMs, you meet people, you talk about topics, you find some solutions, and if you think I need more, you can also afterwards go and have some contract together and do it like this, depending on the level of information that you're sharing with each other. This can be set up. But that's the reason why the group is still closed, I think that's good.
I think that keeps it within its original spirit.
Yes.
So, you know, it's the way we've always done it, where people can access the group by going to ascendoverliability.com and, you know, through that community, looking to where the mastermind information is, and then you basically apply to be assigned to a mastermind group. But, you know, what's been done now actually really opens it up, because the groups were very much about... you know, had a lot to do with time zone and coordinating people's time. So it's actually also opened it up, the idea of the LinkedIn forum, to allow collaboration across mastermind groups too as well, which I think is a really big deal, because now you're getting a more diverse audience and you will find people who probably also know more specifics about your industry or discipline.
Yeah, and you can also direct link to the people, so you can see the people who are there. You can click on their profile and you can see what is their background if you want to know something more, and you can go in direct chat with them. That's a little bit lower hurdle to take than perhaps you don't like to speak up in a, right. in a call, or you are hesitant to send an email because that's more official. Right. And this way you can just drop a chat and say, hey, how are you? How should you do that? And independent of the time zone of where you are. So it opens up. So it's interesting to use as a platform. I know we use it on the website itself, but it was a little bit, the struggle there was you had to log in first and you... The kind of technology, it makes it more easy. You have the web apps for it, right. the mobile phone.
Right.
You can use your phone and you can look in the forum. You can look in the LinkedIn, actually. Right. You can see the topics. I actually posted already a few links from RAMS, a few pictures from RAMS this year. So this is just convenience that it's so easy. You can just use the technology of LinkedIn for this.
Yeah, why reinvent it, right, when it's already been established and there for that purpose, too. So let's talk about some of the things you've had on the agenda recently, you know, like the most recent meeting. What were some of the topics that were
so we're talking about testing with sample size that you get and testing.
That's always a big one, right? Everybody always struggles with that. Yeah.
We've been talking about, I mentioned, the software reliability. That's also something that came along. We've been done a lot of talks about also the hold host approach, what to do and what not to do, especially when Kirk Gray was involved. He is very passionate about it, but also nice. He's always advocating for doing these stress tests. So, and then we kind of see from how does it evolve. So it might be that somebody starts with a topic and it derates to another part or another topic, and sometimes we park it and we take to the next meeting, or sometimes we go deeper in it. And so we have been talking also about document control system that might be used within the company that sometimes help you setting up test plans, or sometimes are working against you when making test plans. So these kinds of things, and it's, again, I'm repeating myself, but nice to see what the peers are using and what their best practice is on some of these occasions.
Yeah. No, I know it's kind of fun too that really almost everybody can, you know, people in the group submit what's of interest to them.
Yeah.
And you kind of do find these different issues that float to the top to kind of be dominant, and even through specific times and periods, you know, of what occurs. And, you know, it can even be things like, you know, what's occurred in the news, like with Boeing, right?
Yeah.
And that brings up software. And now all of a sudden everybody finds out their managers are asking them about software and how that's being addressed. And here's a place to share that and to, you know, to collaborate on it. And, and the difference, bringing the different levels of experience together is a big deal too, right?
Yeah, this is actually nice. I think so. So it's nice that you don't need to make the same mistakes that your predecessors did. So I've seen a lot of mistakes. I like to talk about the mistakes.
It's called experience. Mistakes are experience.
Yeah, that's true. I know you do also like to talk about it, because I saw it in a few of your presentations already. So, and it's also triggers you some state of mind. What can go wrong? What are the things we don't know? Because we all always think that we know the things we know. We think maybe we know a lot.
Right.
But speaking to other people, hearing how they do a test, how they approach products, that gives you an insight of the things that you actually don't know. And that's also nice to have these peers. And these peers are not designers or product managers, designers who want to protect their babies because they don't want you to test. They don't want you to break it.
Right.
And the product managers, they don't want you to test, but they don't want you to spend the money on it.
Right.
Because why would you spend so much money on a test? If they break it, then it's out of guarantee. They have to buy new, so they have more profit. But that's not how it works, because you have this customer loyalty that comes into play if you're talking about reliability. So they're all important issues that you have to tackle in that.
Yeah. Well, even things like that, the culture side, you know, I love talking about the culture side of things, is the, you know, the how do you influence the people around you? Because the reliability mindset is so different. I mean, with reliability, it's... You know, designers, when they test, they want to pass the test. For reliability, if you do a test and you don't have a failure, it was a waste. It was a failure, and it was a waste of time. The test was a failure, because what you're looking for is an opportunity to observe the failures, because the mindset of a reliability engineer is the failures exist whether you see them or not.
Yep.
It's just a matter of if you find it first before the customer does, really is what it comes down to. So with limited sample size and limited time for tests, you're lucky if you get to see the failures. And, you know, bringing that mindset to the engineering team, the managers, the designers, to where they're not just desperate to pass and do whatever it takes to pass. That is a whole initiative that you need support from. How do you do this? How did you do it? How did you help change people's minds? You know, and to, that's the type of thing that if you can find, you know, a group to talk about and share about that, it can be so helpful, because that can be so frustrating when it feels like everybody's against you, right? Yeah. Everybody's pushing the other direction and you can really get beaten down. So, you know, getting those techniques about not just being somebody as a reliability engineer that technically, you know, leads and influences, but you culturally, you know, lead and influence.
Yeah, that's so true, because, yeah, one of the things that you hear the most, and if it fails during testing, product manager would say, just test it again and see if it still fails.
Right.
So no, you can't, that's not the way you do it. You should improve first and then test again, or at least investigate what the problem is before just blindly start testing again.
Yeah,
I can break you one, I can break you 100, but it doesn't gain you anything if you will not investigate why it failed, and then you can come back to test it. But you only spend more money if you repeat the test on a design that you are almost certain that's going to be failing.
Yeah, you're ignoring the entire purpose of it, which is to have found something and to have learned.
And the group can help you, like you mentioned, to have some soundboard that you can relate to.
Right.
And not always, that you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're actually not alone. And so I definitely want to invite recommend everybody to join who is working in the field of reliability.
And, absolutely.
Want to learn more about it.
That's the whole idea.
Or
with
share
with
the experience.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with Ascendo. That's the whole idea of the Ascendo Reliability, is a community that serves reliability engineers, you know, in a personal sense, you know, very different than some of the bigger organizations that are also serving, you know, the industry and organizations. Is, you know, the mastermind is clearly a very clear derivative of what, you
that's
know, Ascendo is trying to do. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, it's so much fun being here at RAMS. This is one of the great things, is getting to do the face-to-face, right? That's why the conferences are great.
See the people, also the people from the groups. You can see them here also. Yeah. I mean, different groups, not only
on
Ascendo, but also, like, you see them here, a real person. You can shake hands. You can finally, all the people you talk to by phone on the other side of the world.
Yeah, here they
are. They're real persons in the flesh. So,
yeah,
that's nice.
Good, good. Okay, well, thank you again. And everybody listening, feel free to comment. And I do highly encourage you to, you know, go to Ascendo Reliability and to find a mastermind group. All right, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.